Take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Last week, I taught the first part of this lesson, and the title is Your Relationship with Someone Who Has a Burden. Tonight, it's lesson number 41. We have talked for 41 Wednesday nights about the relationships of life. You hear me say this, and I'll continue to repeat it just because it's so true. Your life is made up of a series of relationships. The things that are going to affect you most in life are going to be relationships. There's the prominent relationship, and that relationship to God, that relationship to Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God. And then there's all those other relationships of life. I can have a hard time getting a part fixed on my car, and it might mess up a little part of my day. But let me tell you something. When a relationship with another human being is not right in my life, it doesn't mess up a moment in my life. It can really affect my day and my week. Relationships are important. And I think if we can learn relationships and learn how to do our part in relationships, we'll be more successful as Christians. You know, you even take churches. In churches, you know, you have things that get out of order and things that get broken, and that might affect the church a little bit. You just let relationships get out of order and see the chaos that it can create. A boy could put a baseball through a window, and it would inconvenience a family, and it might cause a little grief when we try to fix that window. But you just have a son or a daughter, and the parents have a terrible relationship issue, and it's far worse than any window that's ever been broken. And that's because relationships are such a big deal. Galatians chapter 6, I want you to stand with me for a moment, if you will. I'm going to start reading in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, and I'm going to read through verse number 5. The Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." If you'll look back at me, Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Long time ago, I took that on as my life's verse. That verse means a lot to me. It's my mom's life's verse. It's about the bearing of people's burdens. Tonight, we're going to talk about your relationship with people who have burdens. Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Bless us as we review to start. Then, Father, when we get to the latter part of the lesson, help us to be better Christians because of what we hear. Help us, Lord, to be challenged and changed. And, Lord, might we learn something tonight that we will actually apply to our lives, make our relationships better. Our relationships with those at work, our relationships with our family members, our Christian family members, the brethren, the people within the church. Help us, Lord, tonight to be better Christians because we are on guard with our relationships. What we do in our relationships, we do it on purpose, please. Holy Spirit of God, control the service. Help us not to have interruptions that are inappropriate, but Holy Spirit, control what's said and what's heard, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I have never been able to be what you might call a complicated preacher. I grew up in a little country town, and I'm a meat and potatoes kind of a person. You have to excuse me. I like bologna sandwiches, and I grew up eating hot dogs and tea, and I'm not real complicated. When I go to teach the Bible, I've just never seemed real scholarly, and I apologize to you if I ever embarrass you because I'm not real scholarly, but I believe the Bible. I believe it. And I've studied how Jesus taught it, and I noticed he didn't really confuse people in his teaching. He made it simple. He made it down to earth. And he tells stories about bread and lost boys and lost sheep and lost coins. So I'm glad he had to calm his intelligence a little to do that. I got to step up to be able to accomplish that. But I'm going to teach you tonight. It will not be complicated. You've heard the first two parts of this sermon about our relationships with people with burdens. Now, I'm going to review just a little, and then I'll get into the last half, actually, of this lesson. So this is lesson number 41. It's the second part of it. Tonight, the timing of the lesson, we have within our church, we face some extra burdens recently. And although I'm not necessarily talking to those who have the burden, I'm talking to all of us who have relationships with people that do have burdens. But we have a lot of people that are going through some difficult challenges in their lives at this time, and a variety of burdens. I think there are right and wrong ways to help people that are burdened. I think there are right and wrong things that you can do in regard to someone that has a burden. I think there are right and wrong things to say when someone has a burden. I think this thing of proper care regarding burdens, I think it's a bit of an art. You need to learn it. Young people, when you get around adults and mature people, and you watch how they handle people that have heartaches, and you watch how they handle people that have burdens, it'll keep you from embarrassing yourself. It will also train you. Look at people that are successful at handling themselves with people, and learn to mimic some of that. Pick up on that. Because this thing of helping people with burdens, it's important that we learn it. I think sometimes people can go too far in how deeply they want to pry or probe into someone's burdens. I think there are other people then that don't get involved enough. And there are some people that do absolutely nothing, and I think that comes from being so self-absorbed, being so stingy in life. Now, I have to tell you something. If you carry a burden tonight, I want you to understand something. If you carry a burden, God has not dismissed you from helping others bear their burden. And you might say, preacher, well, you're just trying to get a lot of work out of the workforce. Oh, not at all. Let me tell you something. If you have a burden and you go help someone else bear their burden, then somebody must carry yours while you're helping them to carry theirs. I wonder who would do that. What happens is, if we stare at our burden too much, it becomes heavier. But when you say, you know what, I've got a burden, but I'm going to try to help somebody else, and I'm going to try to encourage somebody else, and I'll do what I can to serve somebody else that has a burden, let me tell you, it'll get your mind off of your burden. It will also give you a certain fulfillment in life. And when you're busy carrying the burden of another, Jesus will step up, and he will lighten your load just in your carrying their load. And so, if we have a burden, we are not dismissed from the responsibility of being concerned with people who have a burden. I think all of us need to learn that when somebody has a burden, if they have a heartache, you got to learn how to give people a little bit of a free pass. If somebody's really been hit hard, if they're a little testy, if they're a little short, maybe a little grumpy, maybe not as compassionate as what they ought to be, it doesn't hurt for you to say they're going through a tough time, and I understand. Now, on the other side, because you're going through a burden doesn't give you the right to be a jerk. And you say, well, I'm not a very compassionate way of saying it. I know, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm not justifying, while everyone else is giving you a free pass because you're going through a tough time, that free pass does not make your misbehavior right. It means that we will have the good sense to realize that you're under pressure and you're going through some difficult things. Now, burdens come for a variety of reasons. You may know the reason, you may not know the reason. But when somebody is going through a burden, the one who's going through it, they may understand it or they may not understand it. You know, sometimes people go through burdens and it's all God's business. He knows what he's doing. There are people that went through burdens in the Bible. I don't think they had any idea the positive fallout that would come historically because of their burden. I'm not sure some of those giants of the faith that went through some difficult times would have ever dreamed in a million years that 2,000 years later, people would be standing in a pulpit bragging on them and talking about their burden. I don't think they had any concept what God was doing. And so the one that has the burden, they may know why, they may not. But let me tell you, those of you that watch or your friends or acquaintances of those who have burdens, you don't know either. You might think you know, but only God knows. Only God knows. I do know this about burdens. God does not waste burdens. If someone has a burden, God intends for something to glorify Him and something to be accomplished as a result of that burden. Now, with that in mind, if you have a burden and God has a plan for that burden to glorify Him, if I can help to glorify Him through my treatment of you, I certainly want to get that done. And if I have a burden, I would like for God to get what He wants to get out of my burden. Sometimes I wonder if the burden is not the issue. I wonder if sometimes it is people's response to and people's behavior because of the burden, what God wants to figure out. You know, you say, oh, this burden, why is it here? It might be there. Just God can see if you're real. Do you really love Him? Are you going to love Him if you get your way? Or are you going to love Him even if it doesn't turn out the way you want it to turn out? I don't think it's always, the burden is not always the issue. Sometimes it's our response to the burden. Whether we're the one carrying the burden or our response to somebody else's burden. Well, we started out last week and I said, let's talk about how we will behave toward or how our relationship can be bettered and protected with someone that has a relationship burden. We're talking about there's a burden, there's a hardship that's going on between a parent and a child, or between two friends, or a boss and an employee, a husband and a wife, a leader and a follower. And I gave you some things that I thought if you'll be careful of these things, you'll be stronger as you carry or help someone to carry their burden. I love the verse found in Matthew 11:30 that says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Anytime Jesus gets in on burden bearing, He does not make it worse. He makes it better. And folks, if you and I are going to be like Jesus, we want to help make things better, not make them worse. And that is accomplished on how we handle ourselves. Do we get involved? In what way do we get involved? What do we say? When do we say it? How do we say it? And one of the challenges of this generation is to think before you act. Think before you talk. Now, someone has a relationship burden. Let me give you a couple little things and then we're going to move on because I taught this last week. One thing you can always do when there's a relationship burden is you can pray. One thing you can always do is make sure that you don't gossip. Not verbally, not on Facebook, not through text or emails. When people are having relationship struggles, their privacy needs to be respected. Can I tell you something? Their privacy needs to be respected even if they're not smart enough at the moment to protect their own privacy. Sometimes we think that because, well, she went and told everybody how she feels about him, or he went and told everybody how he feels about her, so I guess it's a free-for-all. We can all just go talk. No, do you know sometimes when people are hurting, they say and do things that are not real smart to say and do at that moment, but it's not real wise for you to start doing that because, look, you're not the one that's under the gun and under the pressure right now. You know, I'll watch people that are hurting themselves while I'm busy being quiet and trying to protect them. So listen, just because someone even gossiped about themselves, that make it right for you to go ahead and say, well, I guess it's all right then. No, there's just some privacy that ought to be respected. Many times when there are relationship issues, you need to be careful. It might be wisest that you just stay out of it. Don't let your pride get too heavy. Don't judge people. Encourage them and love them. But if you want to have a good relationship with somebody that is going through a relationship burden, be careful. Be very careful. A relationship, it means there's got to be at least two people involved. And boy, you go saying something to one that gets repeated to the other, you'll make things worse, not better. You've got to watch and be careful and be wise. You want to make the burden lighter, not heavier. Okay, then last week we went to point number two, and I talked about a health burden. A health burden. Let me read to you from Psalm 103, verse number 3. It says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases." And here it is talking about someone that carries a burden. We talk about diseases, of course. Jesus saves us and we do away with that thing, that disease that could kill us and send us to hell. But there are people that are burdened down because of health issues. We're talking about accidents and diseases and health challenges and birth defects and just all of those things. You want to have a good relationship with people like that. There's a right and a wrong way to handle yourself. Obviously, again, pray for them. And pray for them and pray with them. Try to be positive. I said this last week. I said, listen, if you get around people that are not well, people that are facing diseases and challenges, don't go in telling them the story about all the worst case scenarios that you heard about and somebody that has their disease or has their sickness. That's not making their burden light. You're not being healing with your words. Give them faith. Give them hope. I talked to you about humor there. I told you the Bible talks about how that laughter is a medicine. And if you can help to lift their spirit and be joyful and make them feel better, all of that will help. And you can offer people that have health issues. You can offer to mow the yard and feed the dog and, you know, fix the car, babysit the kids. All those things are helpful, and there's a right and a wrong way to do it. But your goal, when someone is going through a health issue, you want to strengthen their faith. You want to help them what you can. Don't depress them. Don't wear them out. Don't overstay your welcome. But lighten their load. Now, let's get to some new material tonight. I want to talk to you about people that may go through what we would call, or I'll call tonight, a financial burden. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 55, verse number 22. It says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Here's talking about God sustaining people. So we all understand something. You understand that everything that you and I have comes from above. Everything we have, God gave to us. And that's why, to me, you take, for instance, you take the subject of tithing. I don't understand why we would ever want to create a fuss over giving God back 10% of the 100% he gave us. Look, if I gave my boy a $100 bill, I said, "Here's a gift." And I said, "By the way, could I have $10 of that back?" And he said, "No way." I'd have a hard time understanding that. Now, folks, it is God who is, he sustains us. He, and in that verse in Psalm 55, it's talking about a burden and how God is the one that sustains us. But let's say someone is facing a financial burden. Maybe self-inflicted. Maybe it's just come upon them. Here's what I would do if I were you. First of all, you can pray for them. I include prayer in just everything. Now, there's sometimes you don't have to pray whether things are right or wrong. They're already right according to the Bible, but you might just pray that God give you the strength to do the right thing. You don't have to pray about tithing. You're supposed to tithe. Now, you might pray and say, "God, give me the strength to obey." You don't have to pray about whether or not you should be faithful to church. The Bible already says you're supposed to be faithful to church. Now, you might pray and ask God for the strength to be faithful to church. Some people pray about things that are already settled. And God's not going to change his mind. He's not writing any new books. Now, the liberal theologians that are knuckleheads are trying to write new Bibles, but they're fools for doing so. But we can pray about everything. And so if someone is facing a financial burden, a financial heartache, pray for them. I have to tell you this again, and you'll hear this a lot out of me in my teaching, especially in helping people. Confidentiality is a must. Folks, if somebody is facing a financial burden or they're having a very tough time financially, many times the last thing they want in the world is anybody to know about it. They deserve that it be held in confidence. Let's say a friend of yours comes to you and says, pray for us. You know, we're behind on our mortgage. I promise you, they probably did not want you to go to Facebook and get it out there. Do you want, if you want to continue to have a good relationship with people that have financial burdens, there's a right and a wrong way to handle yourself. So you pray for them. You practice confidentiality. And listen, folks, don't advise if you're not qualified to advise. Don't advise if you're not qualified to advise. You say, preacher, how would I know if I'm qualified to advise? Well, so you've got a friend, and they're having financial reversals, and they're having a financial burden, and you've never saved a penny. So you're going to get involved to help them solve their financial problem? Probably not. They're having a hard time paying their mortgage, but you don't pay your bills on time. You might not be the one to advise them. Now, pray for them, yes. You have terrible credit, and they're having a bunch of financial heartache. I have to tell you, you might not be the one to get involved to help them to solve their financial dilemma. Your checkbook hasn't been balanced in years. You want to tell them how to organize their own personal finances. Everybody okay? So, Pastor, I know very few that could advise them financially. You're right. You might want someone to advise them financially that seems to have their head screwed on straight financially. But may I say, just don't advise when you're not qualified. And folks, don't let your pride get the best of you. You know, there are people that ask me questions and I don't have what it takes to answer those questions. I'm not going to destroy someone's life guessing because my ego won't allow me to admit I don't know. That's so dangerous. And if you want a good relationship with somebody that's got a financial burden, don't advise if you're not qualified. Now, you can pray. You can help in that way. And may I say this also, and I've said this on the other couple of points, but don't judge. Don't judge. You know, if somebody's got a financial heartache, maybe they told you or maybe you heard. I wouldn't judge them. You know, you may feel like you know why, but again, you do not know why. There are people in the Bible that went through financial reversals, and it had nothing to do with them misusing their funds or anything else. It had everything to do with God's plan. And so, I'd be careful passing judgment on them. Now, if you want to be careful with your relationship with somebody that's got a financial burden, I would say this. Realize that there are times when loaning money can be detrimental to your relationship. Loaning money can be detrimental to your relationship. We could do a quick Bible study. We're not going to, but let me tell you something. When you loan money to someone, and at first it's no problem. I'm glad to loan you some money. But if you're not careful, before long, the loan becomes an issue. I have watched money loaning among family members, Christian brothers, turn into a mess, just a total mess. So I didn't tell you, you can't ever loan them money. I just told you, though, you better realize that loaning money can be detrimental to a relationship. My experience is it turns out worse more often than it turns out for the better. All right? Next, sometimes cash gifts are not wise. Cash gifts are not wise. You say, why? Well, let's take a worst case scenario. Let's take that somebody's got some pretty bad habits and they've got a total financial catastrophe on their hands because of their bad habits. So you give them $100 to go spend on their bad habit. if someone came to me here at the church and said, you know, I'm suffering financially. Can you give me some money? You know what I might do? I might give them some groceries. I could buy them a pair of shoes. I could put gas in their car. Because there ain't no way to smoke that up or drink it. We could try. That'd be a blast. So, sometimes cash gifts are not wise. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody, and I'm not right now. I'm not worried. We have nobody in our church that's come to me that's in what I'd call financial catastrophe or anything like that. So I'm not worried about teaching what I'm teaching. But let me tell you something. This thing of money, if someone is mishandling their money and they're not good with their money, so you give them more money, folks, I'll tell you all something that you need to hear. Most people's financial problems are not a financial problem, it's a character problem. Now, not all, but most are. Most people that I sit down with say, well, I can't, there is no way in the world I cannot make it. I'll say, then you bring me all your bills and you bring me your income and we're going to write it all down. We're going to figure it out. You know that 9 times out of 10, there's enough coming in. The problem is how it's going out. Now, not all the time, but often. So if they don't know how to use their money right and they have created a financial mess for themselves, did you know that throwing money at a gaping hole won't plug it? So you say, well, what do I do if I want to help? Well, you could pay the electric bill or you could pay this bill or that bill. But if you hand them money, they're already having a struggle with it. Now, you say, well, what about the loaning thing? I'm just going to tell you what I think the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, lend, hoping for nothing again. In other words, you're better off giving the money and in your heart saying, if I never get that back, it will never come between our relationship. Now, if you give me my $10 back, great. But I've already dismissed it in my mind. But most people let money come between them. So we're talking about a financial burden. I said pray. Practice confidentiality. Don't advise if you're not qualified. Don't judge. Loaning is not always wise. If you loan, lend, hoping for nothing again. Cash gifts are not always wise, but helping to pay bills so you know the money is going to reduce their situation, it could help. Cash gifts can be good in certain situations. You know, there's sometimes when a cash gift is very, very helpful to people, but you have to be wise in how you handle it. Next, I would recommend to everybody here that if you know someone that's going through a financial burden, that you learn from it. You learn from it. And I'm not telling you to pass judgment. I'm just saying you learn from it. You grow because of it. Then I would say this. If you want to keep your relationship good with somebody that has a financial burden, don't pry. If somebody says, you pray for me, we're really up against it and things are not going well and we got some bad debt, you don't say, how much debt? That's not your business. And you're better off not knowing. You say, well, I need to know to pray right. Well, why don't you just pray that they get millions? That will just cover it all. You know, people try to get spiritual when they're not. It's just amazing to me. But don't be nibby. Don't pry. Then, I'll say this, don't want to know details to problems that you can't solve. Can I tell you something? When we want to know the details to someone's problem that we cannot solve, if you're a person of character, it's just going to frustrate you. You say, why? Now you have a problem in your brain that you can't solve. That's one reason why gossip's not good for you. Gossip's not good because it's a sin, but number two, gossip takes into your mind a problem that you cannot solve. Now you have something to eat at you. I'm going to tell you something. It drives me batty when I get around problems that need solved and I can't solve them. I mean, it makes me mad. You want to see me out of sorts? You just see me facing something that I cannot solve. I'll make me miserable and Mrs. Owens miserable and everyone around me because I want to solve problems. Men, you all know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Well, let me tell you something. If you're not careful and you want to know all the details to problems that you cannot solve, did you know that God knows the details? God needs your faith in prayer. And there might be some parts of it you can solve, and to that degree, you could get involved. You could put the gas in the tank and food on the table. But to know all the details, it probably won't help you. And it will probably hurt your relationship somewhere down the line. Folks, I'm very cautious not to let people, and I want you all to know this, I'm very cautious that you're never humiliated around me to the point that you're afraid of me and you don't want to be around me. There are times when I handle you certain ways because I am guarding the human ego. You say, but it's worse, Pastor. I would say, I know. But I don't have to know that right now because I want you to be able to continue. And I want you to have, to whatever degree human dignity is available, I want you to have it. You'll walk into my office and out of my office and you'll still have your dignity intact. And folks, be careful. Not everybody knows to guard their own dignity. They just tell you everything and all about it and then later on say, I can't believe I said all that. I wish some of you would wake up and realize that about Facebook. I can't believe I said all that to the public. But there's a guarding of the dignity that will keep your relationship strong. Let me give you one more point about financial burden. Encourage them to be faithful to church. Just encourage people like that to be faithful to church. You say, why? Do you know that people with financial burdens that are here tonight, I'm talking to us about how to handle them and treat them. They're gaining knowledge tonight, even about their financial burden. Okay, let me give you one more point under our relationship with people that have burdens. And this one is our relationship to someone that has a burden due to sin. A burden due to sin. Let me read to you from Galatians chapter 6, verse number 5. It says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Huh. Listen. The Bible teaches, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible teaches that when sin is finished, it's going to bring death. And it might not be that you die and go to hell, but you can sure mess up your dreams and you can sure mess up your life. But there are burdens that come because of sin. And let everybody be reminded, we will all face burdens because of our sin. Everybody will. You are not going to go through this life without goofing up, and that's a polite way of saying sinning against the holy God of the universe and boogering up your good testimony. So everybody's going to face it. Now, say, what do I do if someone is, because of sin, they face a burden? Well, I always start here, pray. I'm a firm believer in prayer. Preached a sermon last night at the revival service on prayer. I preached it before, but I loved every moment of it. I'm a firm believer in prayer. I believe God answers prayer. God's He's a miracle-working God. Now, you can pray for people that have a burden because of sin. You say, well, what kind of burden would they have because of sin? Oh, my. Reaping what you have sown can be heavy. Trying to fix what you have broken can be difficult. And there's a lot of burdens. Boy, emotional burdens and physical burdens and financial burdens. And you all do realize that even the Scripture tells us when you go to take the Lord's Supper, that if people do it and they took the Lord's Supper and they were not supposed to take the Lord's Supper, God said, I have the potential of making you sick. Sin can bring all sorts of consequences into our lives. So we're going to pray for them. Again, I have to say this. Don't set in judgment. You say, well, I'll tell you what, that sin right there, I would never. Take heed lest ye fall. Any sin committed by any Christian is a potential sin for you. You say, well, I'd never do that. I'm just warning you. Folks, I could tell you story after story of people that said to me, well, I'd never do that, who turned around and did that. You say, why? Because God probably humbled them, withheld just a moment of mercy, and they fell into it. So, pray for them. Don't judge them. Hey, and if someone has committed a sin, if someone has done something wrong, pray with them. Nothing wrong with that. I would recommend that you not say this. They go into sin, they mess up, so they come to you, and you say, well, I told you so. I told you so is probably not the recommended thing at that moment. And you know something? I could be saying that every day, all day long in my life. You know, I spend my life warning people, don't do that, don't go there, don't do that, don't go there, don't do that, don't go there. Just about everybody that comes to my office and say, preacher, I goofed up, I could say, well, I told you so. Do you know that in the I told you so, there's a lot of vanity and pride? I was smart enough. Well, I don't care how smart I am. I'm supposed to care about you. And so the I told you so is not the best thing to say. You say, I think it needs to be said. Okay, then let God say it. And He does. Because more than one time in my life, I did what I was not supposed to do, and it didn't take the Holy Spirit any time at all when I was reaping the consequences to say to my heart, Owens, I told you so. Did He ever tell you so? God tells me so often. So, don't say I told you so. If that needs to be said, let God say it. Then, folks, learn to forgive and encourage them to do the same. Learn to forgive. So you say, they sinned and it hurt me. Learn to forgive. You say, well, why in the world should I forgive? Well, why in the world should Jesus forgive? You say, well, I never did anything to them. Well, Jesus never did anything to you. But he's a forgiver. So forgive. And then encourage them to do the same. And folks, when people are going through burdens, and because of sin, many, many times they're weak spiritually. And folks need to be encouraged to forgive. See, the big thing about forgiveness is you don't forgive because of what the object is. You forgive because of what you are. Jesus is not the great forgiver because of what you are. Jesus is a great forgiver because of what Jesus is. And so, forgive. Then, learn to love the sinner and hate the sin. I am so glad that early in my ministry I was taught that concept. We hate sin. I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible, fit-throwing Baptist preacher. I hate sin. And I like calling the roll. But I need to love the sinner. I hate the sin. I love the sinner. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I hate the sin. I'm responsible and enjoy the fact that I love the sinner. So, if you want to keep a good relationship with the people that are going through burdens and going through the trauma that sin has brought into their life, love them. But you've got to continue to hate sin. That's your responsibility. If you stop hating sin, you've stopped loving God. You're not to love sinners at the expense of your relationship with God. Look, you're to continue to hate sin. But you're not to hate the sinner. You're to love the sinner. Next, with someone that's fallen into sin, I tell you, you just need to always encourage Bible reading. Always encourage Bible reading. You say, well, Pastor, I don't even know what to say. They got themselves in a mess. And let me tell everybody here what you can say. Teenager, you have a friend, and that friend's got themselves into a mess, and you say, they were talking to me, and I have no idea what to say to them. Here's what you say. I'd recommend that you read your Bible. That's good advice. You know what you're doing now, counselor. I'd recommend you read your Bible. Get this, I'll give you some more advice. Next piece of advice, pray. I recommend you pray to God. That's good advice. Somebody that's fallen into sin, I'm going to always recommend they get into their Bible. I'm going to always recommend that they are praying to God. Now, you say, why? If it's a Christian, the reason they got out of God's will is because of their lack of relationship with the Word of God. And I have never met a true blue prayer warrior that goes into what we'd call deep sin. Now, I think all sin's bad. But real prayer warriors don't usually find themselves in a mess. Their prayer life, somewhere along the line, has become anemic. So, if you want to help someone that's fallen into sin and you want to keep your relationship, well, you can tell them, read your Bible, make sure you pray. Always encourage repentance. Always. And I'm not telling you to preach a sermon to them. I'm just saying if someone that's fallen into sin and you're trying to help them, it's always best to stop the thing that got them in the mess. Stop it. Then, always encourage church attendance. Always encourage church attendance. They need to be in church. That's what will rebuild them. So I need them to pray. I need them to read their Bible. I need them to repent. I need them to be faithful to church. Now, let me tell you something. If someone has fallen into sin or somebody's gotten themselves in a mess because of their sin, you have to understand there develops a lack of confidence in their life. And I think that there's a certain amount of that proves that there's a healthiness to their conscience. There's a humility that's come upon them. You know, when you fail at something, you don't usually bounce back up and are all arrogant, cocky, and ready to go again. You're a little intimidated by responsibility. Listen, understand that someone that has a burden because of their sin will have a bit of a lack of confidence. And folks, there to me is a difference in confidence and arrogance. Someone that's arrogant, that's full of pride. Now, I think confidence is something that we grow and God can give us. You know, we have to have some sort of confidence to stand up and do what we do for God. But understand, people that have messed their lives up, they often have a lack of confidence. I spend a lot of time taking people that have fallen and rebuilding them, and helping to develop their confidence so they feel like they can serve God and be used of God. Hey, there's a part of it where they're afraid to go forward, not out of rebellion. They've just let themselves down and God down so many times, they say, I promised God I wouldn't do it, and I did. And I promised God I wouldn't do it, and I did. And I promised God I wouldn't do that sin, and I did. I don't know if I want to promise that anymore. And it's not because of rebellion. They're being sincere. They're saying, I tried so many times, I just hate telling God I won't and then do it again. Y'all ever been there? I remember when I was trying to give up rock and roll music, which some of you need to do. But that's not the sermon tonight, so I won't mention it. But when I was trying to get rid of the bad music in my life, I said, okay, that's it. And within days, I was right back at it. And then, oh, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. And within days, I was right back at it. I remember the lack of confidence I had because of my failures. And people that have a burden because of their sin, their confidence gets wore down. So what do? We help to build their confidence, not arrogance, but we build up their confidence again. A couple more points and we'll be done. If you have someone that has a burden due to their sin, you've heard me say this before, you don't spread in form of a prayer request gossip about them. Wrong thing to do. I do not believe God ever intended for prayer requests to be used as weapons against people. And boy, if someone has gotten into sin and got their life in a mess and you want to give an unspoken request, that's the category under which that should remain. You keep it under the unspoken. You say, well, I feel like for people to know and to pray knowledgeably, the one who needs to know is God, and he already knows. People can pray, but you don't turn it into gossip. And let me tell you one reason why. You know, folks, when somebody does something stupid, the more people that know about it, the harder it is for that person to feel like they can come back to church and never have any dignity. So you deal with it, and you try to, God will discipline the church. There might be some discipline. You might lose a position here or there, but you don't want everybody to know because it's very hard to live down. It's hard for them to live down in their heart, but it's also hard for a group of people to forget. So don't spread it. Next, I think caution should be practiced in regard to your fellowship with somebody that's fallen into sin. I think there are people that we reach out to and we try to get them into church. But folks, if somebody's got themselves in a mess and they're reaping and their life is all messed up, you don't need to be going to their house and spending all day long, day after day after day with them. They need to come to church and get their fellowship, but you've got to guard your spirituality. And you'll find out that if you've got a bad apple and you add a good apple to a bad apple, the bad apple's not going to get healed by being thrown in a bucket with a bunch of good apples. It doesn't work that way. So you get them into church, and that's where you spend your prominent and most of your time in healing with them. Next, in most cases, if people have messed their lives up with sin and they ask your advice, I'd tell them to read their Bible. I'd tell them to pray. I'd tell them to get in church. And one of the best things you'll ever tell someone that's messed their life up in sin is go see the preacher. That's part of my job description, is helping people that have messed up their lives. And that little piece of advice will help you a lot. It'll help you a lot. I wouldn't encourage them to quit church. I wouldn't encourage them to quit their duties. Listen, if somebody messed up and they've got a duty in the church, they ought to come see me and let me help them figure out what they ought to do. But quitting and running doesn't fix things. So, a burden due to sin. There's a right way of handling it. A burden due to finances. I think there's a right way to handle a relationship. A burden due to health issues. There's a right way to have relationships and to handle that. A burden in regard to the relationships of life. There's a right and a wrong way. God is the master burden bearer. This whole book is full of instructions on how to handle people and help people. Let's do it the right way. All right, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're finished with the lesson. I hope somewhere in the evening you've learned a little practical twist. I've kind of just taken these four matters and I've told you how I handle them, how I've learned to handle them as a pastor, as a Christian brother. And these things help me to have stronger relationships with people that are facing heartaches and burdens and issues of life. I want to keep my relationship with them strong while they're going through a difficult time. Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, I've learned something tonight. I've learned some things that will help me. It'll help me to help people. I've learned something that is practical, and I'm going to be able to use it. God has taught me something tonight in the regard to helping people with burdens." And you'll raise your hand, let God see it. And amen. I hope you will use it. We're going to have a brief altar call. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible. We'll show you how to be saved. If you need to come and pray, maybe you have one of these burdens. You need to come and pray. Maybe you know someone, a friend, an acquaintance, a loved one, a family member that's got a burden in one of these areas. Maybe you need to come and pray. Because as I recommended, in all four categories, prayer is at the top of the list. Pray. And then there's so many other behaviors that we ought to practice. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? If you do, you come. Say, "I do have a friend that's got financial issues." Well, let's handle it right. Let's handle them right. You say, "I do have a friend that's facing medical issues." Well, let's handle it right. Let's be there for them and figure out how to help with the burden. I know somebody that's going through a difficult time in a relationship. I know a child and a parent that just at odds with each other. Okay, well, let's do this right. Let's handle ourselves wisely. The word burden, the word heartache, the word burden is over and over and over again in the Bible. God wants us to handle burdens properly. Ushers, if you'll be ready with a prayer bulletin, we'll get those in the hands of people that need them. Greatest attributes that a Christian could possess is the attribute of balance. I think balance is the ability to fit into any given situation and fit into it appropriately, scripturally, the right way. That's being soft when it's time to be soft and being bold when it's time to be bold. That's knowing how, and when to apply the graces of life. We need balance in our Christian life. These sort of things keep a church strong because the relationships within the church stay strong. Lots of burdens in the church. Let's not be offensive. Let's make the burden light, not heavy. That's what Jesus does. This is the last time through the song. We'll look at the prayer bulletin and then we'll be on our way.